You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy to have you back on the Locked On Syracuse podcast here for a Thursday episode, as we are here with you guys every single weekday, keeping you company throughout the offseason, keeping you tied up as we count down the days to football season. I'm sure we'll have some more football stuff on the horizon this offseason. But today on the show, Tim Letter and Tyler Aki, of course, we are breaking down the Boeheim's Army roster. It's basically out. We know two more guys are coming. Eric Devendorf has been hyping them up on Twitter. It seems like it'll be two more non-SU alums coming, so we'll maybe theorize who those guys could be or what that means for the team. But we have a roster in front of us right now, Ty, and I got to say, we both love this tournament. I guess they're going to start out in Peoria, Illinois this year, which is kind of a bummer, but it's just a great thing for the Syracuse community every summer. It gives us some content. We usually try to talk to Kevin Belby at some point. We go all in on this tournament, and I love just seeing a roster in front of us, and that means we're getting closer and closer to the first games.
And if there's anything that I could take away from this, is from the official TBT Twitter account that said Boeheim's Army has announced its roster 50 minutes ahead of deadline. And if I knew anything about Syracuse students, the only way to get things done is to turn things in 50 minutes ahead of the deadline, like literally coming down to the wire. So that to me was very, very Syracuse-esque.
Right. So they've got a new coach. I guess we can start there. Jeremy Pope is the new coach. Let me just read off the roster and we can go through some initial takeaways. And then I think later on in the show, we can get into what our thoughts are and them kind of trending away from some of the Syracuse guys. There are some non-SU guys on this roster, which they've done in the past. They had Jordan Crawford, I believe, if it wasn't last year, it was recently, maybe 2 years ago. And some have worked, some have not. But, you know, we can get into a larger discussion later, I think, on whether that's good for the direction of Boeheim's Army, whether that's good for fans, and if that is the best way to go. But the roster as it stands right now, again, two more guys to be named later, and we'll update you guys once those come out. But you got Pascal Chukwu making his first appearance, a center. Eric Devendorf back, of course. He's been on every single TBT, every single Boeheim's Army roster. CJ Fair, Tyler Lydon, Chris McCullough. Lydon and McCullough were set to play last year but pulled out because of injury. Tyrese Rice, the Boston College guard, is also on the roster. Malachi Richardson, Andrew White III, who have both played before. And then Kiefer Sykes was the latest addition that we found out about, a guy from Green Bay who had a very decorated college career in the Horizon League, has played overseas for a while, is a guard that is joining Boeheim's Army. But the coach, Jeremy Pope, is a Portland assistant, not really a ton of ties to Syracuse outside of the fact that he was a grad assistant under Mike Hopkins, did work for Tyler Ennis's dad, and probably knows Tyler Ennis a little bit, but not a Syracuse guy. And I was surprised by that. That may have been the most surprising thing, was to see a new coach, and Ryan Blackwell will stay on as an associate head coach.
Well, it's interesting because also worth noting that Sean Belby is on the staff as well as an assistant coach. But Kevin Belby, he's taken it outside the family in the Jeremy Pope edition. And I know we've talked so much about succession plans and should Syracuse go outside the family? Should they keep it in-house? And now you're seeing the team that is named after the coach, who this big succession plan is built up for, goes outside the family to fetch their next coach. I found that super interesting. And what's that going to bring? Who knows? Is there going to be less zone involved? Is there going to be a different style of play offensively? I'm intrigued. I'm not against it. I'm not against it at all. Listen, this is a team that a lot of fans and people that follow this tournament always have high expectations for, and it's felt like they've come up a little bit short at times. And mixing it up, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm all for that. Let's try it out.
Yeah, and Kevin Belby has been quoted in some articles this week saying something to the effect of, we're tired of losing. We want to win. And they've clearly formulated a roster here. Two more guys coming that I think we can assume are pretty good players based on the fact that they're non-SU alums. And they add Adam Weitzman this year. It feels like they're just going more in on the idea of winning. They're making some changes. maybe have a little bit more length on this year's roster. And I thought of the same thing as you. Will they play 2-3 zone with a new head coach? You'd have to think the chances went down a little bit. Now, Pope was a grad assistant for Mike Hopkins, so I'm not saying that he doesn't know the 2-3 zone. Any coach knows the 2-3 zone. Did they know the Syracuse 2-3 zone is another thing, and they still have a lot of Syracuse guys. But if we're talking four non-SU alums on the roster, a non-SU family member head coach, I think the chances of them playing 2-3 zone definitely went down, which I don't know really how I feel about that. I mean, the biggest thing for me is that they win and they stay in the tournament for a while. They give us more to cheer about and they get the name out there, because this does do good press for Jim Boeheim, for Syracuse, for the family. If you're a recruit watching Boeheim's Army, it's kind of cool to see how much these guys still like playing with one another and how much they're still doing it for the Syracuse community. So I think that's all good. And if the 2-3 zone wasn't really working, maybe you switch it up. I don't know what they're going to do, but maybe that's something we could figure out later down the road, and I'm sure people will be asking that now.
And I love the fact that, listen, I don't mind the splash of guys from outside the family. I think it's good. And you've got a good core of guys coming back from the Syracuse family as well. I mean, you've got your Devos. He's never going to leave. That guy is going to, it's like Jim Boeheim, right? He's going to leave on his own accord. He's going to leave when he wants to, when he feels like he literally cannot play anymore. And when he cannot play anymore, he's still going to be involved somehow. He'll be coaching. He'll be arranging stuff. He'll be a part of this team probably until he dies, right? Like, this just feels like Devo. He is so intertwined. He is Boeheim's Army. Like, the team's named after Jim Boeheim, but it feels like, I don't know, change the name to Devo's Army when he's done playing. Like, honestly, the guy has meant so much to what this team is year in and year out. And then you've got your guys like CJ Fair. And I'm intrigued with Chris McCullough, because that's the guy, whenever we have Kevin Belby on, and Chris McCullough has tried to play in this in the past and it hasn't worked out, and he always says, that's the guy I've been trying to get for a while, and I'm happy we finally have him on this team because of the fact that he thinks that he can be an NBA guy still. And when you've got those level of players, and unfortunately it hasn't worked out because of injury, when you've got a guy like Chris McCullough on your team, those dominant big men we've seen in the past, they can make a real impact, especially on both ends of the floor too. And when you got a guy like McCullough who can run the floor as well, that's intriguing to me. And also what's going to be intriguing to me is, how does a 7'2" guy play out in this tournament as well? Hey, quick break to tell you about the best place to go to keep your car moving on the road. It is rockauto.com. You know, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why often endure pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? You don't know that sort of question. And wait while the counterman or woman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. Why do that when you've got computers with access to rockauto.com at home and also in your pocket? Rockauto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years now. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks and they'll have it delivered directly to your door. They've got amazing selection and reliably low prices. So all you got to do now is go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure that when you do make that purchase on rockauto.com, write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
So one of the outside guys is Tyrese Rice, and this is kind of crazy to me because I grew up in Massachusetts, so I was mostly a Boston College fan, which is a very tough lifestyle to live, and then I kind of just gave up on them by the time I was 10 or 11, but that's just because my dad went to the school, so he had season tickets, so I went to a lot of games when I was a kid. We moved down to North Carolina. And coincidentally, we moved down the exact same day that BC joined the ACC. It's like the greatest thing that's ever happened to my dad. Now he gets to go to all the games and watch BC lose in person versus seeing them lose around 2,000 other people at Conti Forum. But when I was a little kid, and Tyrese Rice was on BC. I must have been like 7 or 8. We went to a game once when he played NC State, and somehow we got great seats at what's now called PNC Arena. And we were sitting right next to Tyrese Rice's family, like in the family section. We're like the only Boston College fans there, basically. And it's the family members and us. And his grandparents were sitting next to us, so we got to talking to them. And Tyrese Rice goes off in this game. And of course, after the game, after they beat NC State, this is back when BC was like decent, because largely because of Tyrese Rice, he comes over to the family section and says hi to his grandparents and the rest of his family that's there. And he takes off his sweaty headband and gives it to me, a 7-year-old kid. Whoa. So he instantly became like one of my favorite
players.
This is
full circle for you now.
Yeah, so it's amazing. I see the list come out, and this is before Kiefer Sykes was added. And I'm like, oh, it's all Syracuse guys and Tyrese Rice. It's like all my favorite players plus another one of my favorite players. So it's pretty amazing that it's Tyrese Rice, who, by the way, is a great scorer. I think he's a good add just because he's a good player, but it's also kind of fun for me because I grew up watching him.
You need those cold-blooded scorers on your team. And Tyrese Rice could be that for this team. Like, there's a bunch of guys on this team who you might see have little spurts and runs, like the Malachis, the Andrew Whites. But when you've got guys that can pour it in droves, those are guys that sometimes when the going gets tough, they can keep you in games, and then everyone else kind of steps their game up, and you end up coming away with a victory thanks to the Elam ending, too. So, no, I like the Tyrese Rice ad. Again, I'm not opposed to any of these outsiders, whether it's him, whether it's Kiefer Sykes. I mean, I think this is the most intriguing storyline now of this entire tournament, is the fact that Overseas Elite is pulling out. So what does what does that do? That makes everybody on their roster from years past a free agent. And if there's still going to be two more ads, it would not shock me if there were two guys that came to this team that were former Overseas Elite guys. Doesn't that make a lot of sense that, okay, that team is sort of figuring out their logistics and it all fell through. So what's going to happen now? Well, you've got guys that are finalizing rosters, but now there's all this talent in this pool of players that are available now. It does kind of make a lot of sense that maybe there's a couple Overseas Elite guys coming to Syracuse's team.
Yeah, and from a player's perspective, I feel like it must be tough to join the Boeheim's Army squad. You're immediately looked at as the, like, at least when Jordan Crawford was the only one, I believe, on that roster. I remember he took some bad shots. He struggled in, like, the beginning of some of the games, and you could just see on Twitter the fan base turn against him because he's not one of ours, right?
Right.
But I want to see this team win. They've been in this tournament a while. I'm with you. I'm kind of for, I don't want the whole roster to be non-SU guys, of course, because then it's like...
Yeah, like Devo and the Ringers. I don't want that, but...
No, but, I mean, let's face it. They've been pretty solid and kind of underachieved. So you make some changes, you bring in some new blood. Tyrese Rice and Kiefer Sykes, they're like born for this tournament, based on what we know. And they've been playing a lot recently. They're in shape. Guards is what wins you this tournament. They're the prototypical TBT players. Plus, no Brandon Trish this year. He talked about on Devo's podcast how he can't make it work scheduling-wise this year, just needs a break, which is kind of a bummer, but okay, no Brandon Trish. John Gillen, surprisingly, was not on this list. That's one of the guys I thought we'd see, and he's been pretty good in this tournament, so I don't know, maybe he had a scheduling conflict, whatever. Tyler Ennis looks like he's rehabbing from an injury. He probably can't play. They needed guards, and these are two of the best guards that you could probably add to this tournament. Two guys that have been tearing it up overseas for a while now.
Right, and those are the guys that have success. Like, why do you think Overseas Elite is so good? It's because you've got guys that have been at the top of their game overseas. And if you can play well at the overseas level, you can play well in this tournament because a lot of these guys are overseas guys that are playing. Sure, you get your fair share of guys who are fresh out of college and all that stuff, but those guys don't always fare as well, or some of those guys who were stars in college but haven't made a lot of noise overseas or in the pros, those guys struggle in this tournament because you're going up against guys who are fit, they are the best of the best overseas, and those are the guys you want on your roster right now. Yes, it's nice to have your splash of orange, but at the end of the day, I think every single Syracuse fan would say they want this team to win. Now, if it comes down to who do you want taking the last shot, Tyrese Rice or Eric Devendorf, that's where things might get a little dicey. but I still would much rather see this team win and it have a couple of ringers on it as opposed to, okay, we're going to just trot the same group of guys out there every single year and you lose in the second round, you lose in the third round, you don't get to the Final Four. I'd much rather have a couple of ringers on the team.
Yeah, the guys that play well in this tournament are actively playing. They're still professional basketball players, with the exception of Devo. I don't know how he does it every year, and I guess it helps that he is training with a lot of the Syracuse guys, you'd imagine, but...
He's just a pro.
Yeah, he's a stud, basically. He'll forever be finishing with his left hand in this tournament, and it's ageless. I don't know how he does it. We say it every year. We'll tweet it out again this year. In reality, some of the guys that I thought were going to be pretty good for Syracuse have not really panned. Like Mike Benajay, I had high hopes when he joined the roster a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. It just felt like he wasn't quite in shape. I mean, not even like as a knock to him. He just wasn't playing a ton, it seemed like, maybe. Which is weird because he is a guy that I think was still in the G League at the time, although it's kind of in a weird offseason period. So who knows? He didn't really work out. Honestly, Andrew White, who's on this year's roster, hasn't done a whole lot in this tournament from my memory. CJ Fair, kind of same thing. He's on this year's roster again. I feel like the one time he played, kind of underwhelming. But their roster was getting kind of older, and they just needed a couple guys like Demetrius Nichols. I'm not even picking on guys. They just had been out of college for a while, so they needed some new blood. And it feels like this is probably the best roster they've had since they've started this tournament. Especially, we don't know these other two guys, but Devo's hyping them up. I'm going to assume they're decent players, and if one of
them, also
going to
assume they're a little older too.
Yeah,
like somewhere knocking on 30 or in their 30s. Like Tyrese Rice is 34, so he's been doing it for a while. Another thing that you notice with this team though is that there is a lot of new blood, like you mentioned the new blood. But what I mean by that is guys who are pretty fresh out of school. Whether it's the Malachis, the Andrew Whites, Pascal Chukwus, Tyler Lydens, even Chris McCullough, I think you can throw into that conversation too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of these newer age Syracuse, like ACC guys that you're seeing play for Syracuse now, as opposed to what we've seen in the past. It's been a lot of Big East guys. I feel like there is a little bit of a shift here on this year's team.
Yeah, that's a good point. No Brandon Trish, no AO, no Nichols, like I mentioned. So they're shifting towards a new generation, which makes sense. And then there's Devo, who's somehow kind of a mainstay and a holdover, and rightfully so, because he's been so good in this tournament for a while. All right, quick break to remind you guys about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season in full swing right now. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs still going on. Lots of fun to bet on that stuff. Also got the U.S. Open coming up this weekend. You can do some live betting on that over at betonline.ag. You can go to their website on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great offerings they have to offer. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in on the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website now, and when you go, don't forget, we got a promo code, LOCKEDON. All one word. That is the promo code for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that promo code is LOCKEDON, all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. I think Sykes and Tyrese Rice are both going to be really good. Sykes, when I did a quick like Wikipedia search on him, granted, did not know much. I know he's from Chicago, right? So you had heard of him a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's a two-time honorable mention All-American, a two-time Horizon League Player of the Year. That was a while ago, of course, but it seems like he's just a scoring guard. And that's, again, I said this earlier, but that's what wins this tournament. That's
guards
why
run
Devo's
this tournament.
So good.
Guards run the NCAA tournament. Guards run this tournament, too. Nothing changes.
Guards win basketball, basically. And they need a center. They've been missing that center recently. I think Chukwu could be that guy. So if they add two potential overseas elite guys to this roster, I could see them being one of the favorites going into this tournament. And I think anyone is kind of, it's anyone's game now without overseas elite. But the way that Syracuse, or Boeheim's Army, sorry, is now adding some money and bringing Adam Weitzman along and making this more official is only going to lure more quality players as we go down the road here.
No doubt. And that's part of the Adam Weitzman appeal, too, is that guy has reached beyond what you know. Like, he posted something on Instagram the other day, and I see Emmanuel Quickly's commenting on it. Not liking it. commenting on it. Like, to me, that just shows the reach that this guy has. You've got a guy who is a star at Kentucky, goes on to be a first-round draft pick, goes and plays for the Knicks, lights it up with the Knicks in his rookie season, and he's somehow linked to Adam Weitzman. And you're just like, where do the dots connect here? And that just shows the reach that this guy has. And that's why you might see more outside influence come and play for this team, because Weitzman's the head of it. And he is the World Wide West. He is Worldwide Weitz. Like, that's what we should call him, because he's going to bring in all this different talent to this team. And I'm excited for what his influence is going to have on this roster.
Yeah, and I'll put it this way. They're probably going to have four non-SU guys, as I said. And let's just say the roster's final. Usually there's an injury or two and a substitution late, maybe. But assuming that the roster is final with two more guys that are non-SU guys, which has been kind of rumored out there already, that's kind of my max. Like, I'm all for winning, and I'm all for making this go outside the family if you have to win and bring in some new blood. I'd like to see a majority Syracuse guys, though, going forward. And I think they will keep it that way. So if you have four, if you're getting into, like, the 6-7 range of non-SU guys, then I think it's a little bit too much. But
then change
where
the
it's
name.
At right yeah. now, I'm fine with.
Yeah, then change the name at that point. But
right.
I also think, from this lens, too, like, I just want to see them win. And I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't like to see 6 or 7, but if there's 4 or 5, I don't care. I don't care that much. At the end of the day, they're going to be wearing the Boeheim name on their jersey. And to me, if you want to go out and support the Orange in a different way, go for it. Tyrese Rice, I mean, you're coming from a former rival to now coming and playing against playing for a team that you used to go up against. And I don't know. I'm also intrigued by what the other names could be like. Overseas Elite, remember, they had Joe Johnson last year. And he was a man amongst boys at times in this tournament. So I don't think that would be the ad, but if it is, I mean, I'm not saying no to that. And at a certain point, like, maybe there's some guys who played for Team USA once upon a time. Like, Jim Boeheim coached Team USA once upon a time. They're technically a part of Boeheim's army, too. So if there's any former, like, USA basketball guys that end up playing in this thing, then maybe, like, that's a luring point with that.
Right.
You've played for Boeheim in some capacity, and then on top of that, you've got Adam Weitzman, who knows everyone and everything. So I wouldn't be opposed to any of it. I'm not opposed to adding a couple of guys who are outside the family. I think you need that to win.
All right, well, we will have one more podcast coming tomorrow. Look for it kind of early afternoon tomorrow. Going to record Friday morning, as we're here doing podcasts for you every single weekday throughout the summer, and we'll try and keep to that 5 days a week schedule going forward. But we'll keep you guys updated on any Boeheim's Army news. Once those two new ads come out, I'm sure we'll be updating you guys on how that makes us feel about the roster. Very excited, even though they're non-SU guys, just to see, because it could be anyone. It's not like we have any idea really who those other two guys are, but it seems like they're two good players. And we'll see how that fills out the roster, and we'll continue to sort of count down the time until the TBT and Boeheim's Army. So subscribe to the podcast if you're interested in that, and we'll keep you guys updated throughout the summer on all things Boeheim's Army. Tomorrow on the show, probably going to dive into a little bit about what John Wildhack said in his press conference recently. A lot of different things came out of that. He talked about name, image, and likeness. He talked about a succession plan for Coach Boeheim, so we'll probably talk some of that and maybe any other news that comes out in regards to Syracuse over the course of the next day or so. But for Tyler, I'm Tim. We'll talk to you guys on Friday.